This is K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls.
K2PCB, this is KE2GDQ. How are you today?
Well, hello there, Brad. Good morning, good morning. Yeah, so far the day is working out pretty well. I'm up, heading into work. A little foggy in spots this morning, but mostly off to the side. Not so much looking down the road. So no complaints. It was a nice weekend. How have you been? I don't think I've caught up with you fully in a while.
Oh, I've been doing pretty good. It was a warm weekend, but I got a lot of stuff done, especially on Saturday. Yesterday I just kind of took it easy. It's been good. I'm enjoying this life. I kind of miss the air conditioning of PCD, but I'll suffer through.
Last time I had talked to you in person, it sounded like you were becoming more acclimated to the weather, and maybe that'll take a little more time. Maybe that'll take a couple season switches for that to be the case. I'm sure Mike Frenzel, I met up with him last Tuesday for lunch. I think he's pretty well acclimated now. Pretty much just stays in the warm. Goes up here for the summer, down there for the winter, and very moderate temperatures for him. I don't know if you made it to the car show yesterday. I thought it was going to be a washout there in Alden. But it was a pretty nice day. We didn't stick around for it. We were out and about in the morning, and then we went to go see Jesus Christ. No, not sorry. Joseph and the Amazing Technical Dreamcoat. That's what it was. At Starry Night Theater, and then we went out to dinner. A group of us, and that was fun. Lynn's, if I mentioned the last time I talked to you, Lynn's car is throwing a code, and she needs to get her car inspected this month. So she was like a week away from taking it in to get it inspected, and her check engine light came on with a EFAP leak. And I just looked at some of the major stuff I could look at. Her gas filler, the hoses going up into the engine compartment. As far as I can tell, the purge valve's opening and closing okay, but it has a leak. Now, there's the canister and such under the under by the gas tank, and I'm not going to be able to do any kind of smoke test or pressure test on that. So unfortunately, I think she's going to end up taking it in. But since she got that car, that's probably the first time it's had an issue. And I told her, okay, you're going out Tuesday? Well, just go drive it. See what happens. Maybe the last time you filled up on gas, it didn't seal well in the gas filler neck there, and maybe the code will go away. But we'll see what happens. Otherwise, I'll check her brakes this weekend, and that's on my upcoming list. No more PTO for a while. I might not take any time off until Labor Day unless something pops up.
Yeah, those EVAP codes can be really hard to track down because, like you said, it could be just a pinhole in a hose somewhere that you can't see without a smoke test. Depending on the age of the car, I've heard people just replace the gas cap. They're like $10 or $15, and sometimes that takes care of it. But you're right, EVAPs are tricky ones to track down for sure.
Yeah, and her car is older, but it's new enough to not have a gas cap. Hopefully it's something simple like that where we just need to replace a section of hose or the seal in the filler neck or gasket, whatever it is. The only problem is it's going to cost a little bit to diagnose and find it. Hopefully the labor to fix it is not crazy. Having to drop the tank or something, that would be unfortunate. And I wouldn't mind doing it. You know, I've dropped the tank and put a new gas pump in her son's car. He did it on one of my old cars before. Not the end of the world. But our apartment complex is really cracking down on stuff, and to start doing any major work like that in the parking lot would be very frowned upon. You're not supposed to do anything. In fact, even when I was going through it the other day, I was worried that they were gonna say something. So I'll give an opportunity for anyone else to say good morning. This is K2PCB.
Good morning, KC2NVM. Good morning, gentlemen. I was a very bad person yesterday. I bought a radio.
I'm not sure how that put you into the bad person category, unless it was hitting your financials so hard that your wife was going to give you a hard time over it.
No, it's money I save up on my own, and I bought a Zygu X6100 yesterday from a guy in East Aurora named Orlando, who's very familiar with the W2SO club.
Oh, Orlando. Yes. I know that name. The Zygu, that's the QRP rig, correct?
I don't know what a QRP rig is, but it's small, compact, and battery-operated, 5 watts when you put an external amplifier on it, or there's a battery pack for it, it'll do 10 watts.
Okay, so you answered that question. QRP refers to low-power operation, and I've seen those. Those look pretty snazzy. I guess I don't even know what you paid for it, but picking one of those up secondhand, so it's probably better than full retail, and getting it locally, even better.
Yeah, $425. It got me an Apache case, the radio, the battery pack, which is not a Zygu battery pack, but it's got a nice little battery in it, a charger, the cabling for it, as well as an external speaker. So, and he also has the hardware on the rails to kind of protect the knobs and switches on the front.
All right, that sounds like a nice deal there. I had seen one on Facebook Marketplace recently, and I want to say they were selling it for like, if I got the right model, I want to say they were selling it for like $96. First of all, $96 is an odd price. And I think it was in Ontario, Canada. And I'm not even gonna reach out on this one. It's like just too good to be true. Sub-$100. No, not even gonna inquire. Plus, you know, I'd have to coordinate some kind of shipment, and that would be most likely a scam. Could have been if somebody else got it, then they got a good deal. But yeah, sounds like you have a nice toy to play with for a while. Have you hooked it up to anything? Do you have any long wire antennas for it? And I'd say pass it over to Brad when you're done there.
He did include a small antenna, wire, and just playing with it in my basement yesterday, just kind of didn't really get to receive anything. But I did hook it up to the computer, and the computer recognizes it. There's a lot of steps to hook it up to the computer, and I was starting to fall asleep at the YouTube video. Plus, the club president has one of these, so Thursday when I go to the nerd club, I'm sure I'll get an education on it with prejudice.
Yeah, so Brad, looks like Jeff picked himself up a nice new toy. Have you been reading about anything in the QST magazine that we are missing out on?
I have been reading the QST magazine. I don't know if you're missing out on anything. You know, I'm still digesting all the ham stuff. It's starting to come clearer but muddier, if that makes sense. The deeper I get into it, the more confused I get. Yeah, I actually got a couple of new books. I'll have to send you the titles of them through the ARRL. It was a pretty good deal. Buy one, got one free, a particular book for free. One is Ham Radio Indoors. Definitely talks about SDR. And the other one is HF dipole antennas. So that should be pretty interesting.
Ooh, the ham radio indoors. That sounds like a good one. That's been definitely, a driver for me over the past so many years since we've been in the apartment complexes. How do I stay connected to the outside world without having external antennas? And that's what really drove me to All-Star the other digital modes that I've dabbled with, and allowing me to stay connected. So I don't know if it's talking about that in there, or is it more about how to safely set up antennas in your house or in your apartment complex, and not tip off your landlord that you're doing these types of installations.
Yes, some of it is being able to put antennas indoors. Like you said, you live in an apartment, or your HOA doesn't allow certain types of antennas outside or whatnot. That's what it's all about. The first section was about SDR and the different types of software to use.
Yeah, some of those bucks can be pretty dangerous, especially once you have an established setup and you're like, okay, I know this works, and then you read about something new, and then you want to try it, you want to change it, and see if it's any different. That's the good and bad. Could be tough on your wallet, but that's the whole experimenting part of the hobby. Like Jeff getting his Zygu. Man, that thing looks so cool. Wonder if anybody or any people are hooking those up to amps so that they can use that as their high power base station, as well as their portable low power QRP rig.
Yeah, I see what you mean by the books can be dangerous. I start thinking, for me anyways, I'm starting to think, oh, geez, I could do this, I could do that. This might work. What if it doesn't work? Now what do I do? So, yeah, it'll be fun, though, to read it and to just find different things to do. So we'll go from there. This is KE2GDQ.
It's like ham radio problem solving 101. I want to make a contact in this way. I want to utilize this mode. How do I do it? How do I do it better? Well, this is K2PCB. I don't think we've heard from Ross yet. Ross, did you make it in here? How'd the auto show go yesterday?
KC2PG. Very late day today. Light night yesterday. Obviously the rain killed it. A lot of guys don't bring the cars out in the rain. So, yeah, it was kind of a lighter showing, but I guess it was okay turnout. I'm just, I was really tired this morning, so I'm just like listening along here. Wasn't engaging in too much conversation today.
Yeah, when we headed out first thing in the morning, I looked over by the tent where it looked like fire personnel were set up, and a couple of the chief's vehicles were parked along that row there, and I didn't see you. But when we were heading back through town a couple hours later, I had seen you over, I think you're over by Verizon. I don't know if something was happening over there and you guys got a call or if you had a table set up over there. I'd seen something set up in front of the Verizon building. We were slow going, but fast enough where, you know, I wasn't going to be able to have any kind of meaningful exchange with you, so we were just cruising through. But, yeah, we did spot you over there on our way by. This is K2PCB, 642. We'll be heading out soon.
Yeah, that was Megan's and mine rendezvous with Evelyn. Evelyn likes to code to the car show, so Megan came over, dropped her off. I had her for a couple hours. We walked through, and they have a book bag pickup at Verizon. That's what they had going on there. So we got her a book bag for school, and yeah, and that was it. And then Megan picked her up, and then I went back to work.
All right, you're welcome then. I'm glad my monthly Verizon payment went to something good for the kids instead of just to the Verizon Corporation.
Yeah, it's nice that they do stuff like that. It's not the best book bag she gets in there, but it works, I guess. Towards the end of the school year, I mean, which is not very long, but for a book bag, but her old one, like, falls apart, like, every year. You know, the seams start to rip out and stuff, so, and zippers starts working, and it's one of those, like, one of those cheap book bags I guess you can get.
All right, well, that's cool. All right, well, I've got 644, so I'm gonna turn it over to you guys to finish up the morning ride in. This is K2PCB. Good morning, everyone. 73.
KC2.